Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 40. Rajam Sishtam Vidaikena Yatai Vaikena Gachiti Yatha Trina Jalokai Kaivam Tehi Karma Katim Gataha. Rajan, a person, while traveling on the road. Tishtan, while standing. Pada ekena, on one foot. Yata, as. Eva, indeed. Ekena, another foot. Kachiti goes, yata as Trina Jaloka, a worm on a vegetable, evam, in this way, dehi, a living entity, karmagatim, the reactions of fruitive activities, tataha, undergo. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. Purport. This is the process of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. At the time of death, according to his mental condition, the living being is carried by the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence, and ego, to another gross body. When higher authorities have decided what kind of gross body the living entity will have, he is forced to enter such a body, and thus he automatically gives up his present body, his previous body. Dull-minded persons who do not have the intelligence to understand this process of transmigration take for granted that when the gross body is finished, one's life is finished forever. Such persons have no brains with which to understand the process of transmigration. The present moment, there is a great opposition to the Hare Krishna movement, which is being called a brainwashing movement. But actually, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and other leaders in the Western countries have no brains at all. The Hare Krishna movement is trying to elevate such foolish persons by enlightening their intelligence so they can take advantage of the human body. Unfortunately, because of gross ignorance, they regard the Hare Krishna movement as a brainwashing movement. They do not know that without God consciousness, one is forced to continue transmigrating from one body to another. But through their devilish brains, they will next be forced to accept an abominable life and practically never be able to liberate themselves from the conditional life and material existence. How this transmigration of the soul takes place very clearly explained in this verse. Translation, just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. So presently in so-called civilization, there are different types of crises. Right now they're talking about the financial crisis. Before they were talking about the war in Ukraine, and there are so many crises. But they're inevitable due to the karmic reactions for their sinful activities, and karma's reaction is due to preliminary ignorance. all Western civilization, and indeed practically everything is, all the different so-called civilizations are practically what's called Western, based upon the same idea, chintyama prayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama pavaga upaharimat. Chintyama prayam cha pralayam tam ipashvitya kama pavoga paramam etavam iti nischita asha pasha shitarabhada kama krota parayana ihanti kama gubogartha anyanartha sanjaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement of their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So in other words, modern civilization is based upon the idea that the whole purpose of society is to gratify lust. And if lust becomes greed, so much the better, and anger must also be satisfied. That we must cultivate whatever illusions we have, because that's the only thing we have is illusion. And if we wind up forgetting who we actually are, so much the better. And although we're losing our intelligence, and we're acting as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, pravitim cha nivritim cha jana navido arasara, the sojam napichacharana satyam teshu vidite. Those who are demons, asuras, they don't know what's to be done, and they don't know what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness or truthfulness or proper behavior is found in them. So this is all due to ignorance. Ignorance of our actual identity. And therefore we're creating a civilization where if one tries to gratify their senses, instead of becoming gratified, they become more agitated. And therefore one has to work even harder to gratify them. Without regulation of the senses, scripture, according to scripture, or at least according to common sense, one's senses will simply become more and more agitated. As they've eaten anything and anywhere at any time, therefore, their desire for sleeping and for speculation has increased exponentially. Their mode of ignorance has increased. As a result of that, they think sex life should be enjoyed in numerous ways all the time. And therefore, they lose even more intelligence and they become more and more defensive. Everyone is out to get them. Therefore, they create enemies, animosity, and therefore wind up fighting, constantly trying to do whatever is necessary to gratify their senses, and civilization has become less than animal civilization. And therefore the symptom of that is that even the most benevolent animal, the cow, who gives milk, which can increase one's intelligence, only eats grass and then gives nutritious milk, is killed and slaughtered in the name of so-called nutritional value. And therefore, because of these simple, and therefore eating such horrible food, one becomes more and more implicated in sinful reactions and goes deeper and deeper into the modes of ignorance. And therefore everything they do is what they're not supposed to do, and everything they're supposed to do, they're neglect. They don't even know Nityavidu Swartha Kadhimi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna. They don't know that they're eternal. They don't know that liberation of the soul from material bondage is the most important activity in the material universe. That's what the material universe has been created, to inspire the soul to get out of the material conception of life and realize one's eternal relationship with Krishna. But because people don't know even that they're eternal, the foolish they can understand what kind of body they enjoy and how the living entity quits his body. They think they're advanced in science, but they don't even know what happens with the time of death. So what is the value of their science? They're so worried about losing things, they're going to lose their bank account, maybe their mortgage, but they're going to lose their body very shortly. And what are they going to do about it? Take out a loan for the next body? They don't know even where they're going after leaving this body. They don't know why they're going to go to a certain place. Sharira yada yada vatnoti yats chapi kramati shraha ihi vaitani samyati vaigura ganda ivashya. The living entity carries its different conceptions of life, one body to another, just like the air carries aroma. Unless he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. They don't know that by the association of the modes of material nature, they're creating their next body. At every moment, either we're going to associate with goodness or passion or ignorance, or if we're engaged in Krishna consciousness, we'll engage in transcendental association. We have a choice, and there are symptoms of the choice. If we don't recognize the symptoms, we don't know what mode of material nature we're working in, we won't know what our next body will be. They don't know because they're killing animals or engaged in sinful activity. Their mentality will bring them to a lower species of life. There are people who aren't worried about that. They're worried about their economic development and their sense gratification. Nothing about liberation. Therefore, even Vasudeva began to preach the Kamsa at the beginning, at the end of Dwarapa Yuga. Although Kamsa did know about this philosophy, still he was driven by his material desires to conquer the universe. And therefore, although he does preach at some point to his relatives, although he does know that he's not this body, but he's driven by his lust to enjoy this body. And therefore he does not accept good instructions. Even so obvious the fact that the body is changing. What to speak of Kamsa, even we have a hard time accepting it. My body's changing, but I'm not changing. And even if we accept it theoretically, we have a hard time working on the basis of that. We're so concerned and absorbed in this material concept of life that we think that it's the most important thing and spiritual life is something secondary. So that's our problem. There's no other problem we have. Unless we recognize that's our problem, is our causeless unwillingness to accept our actual real identity and work according to it, then we simply try to solve one insignificant problem after another. Rashaya ye bahir artamanida. And what's the problem? Andaya tandira pigi yamanas ipisha tantra urudami bada. We think it's someone intelligent who's actually a fool. And someone who's actually a fool, who's actually intelligent, we don't take it very seriously. We don't really consider whether this is going to liberate me or it's going to bind me, this activity. And therefore we wind up taking different species, different bodies one after another. Or if we decide that actually I am a spirit soul and I should work more seriously to liberate myself from the material concept of life, then we can actually make some progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, we become a little serious and then we become a little unserious. It's like putting the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And then we take it out of the fire, put it into ice water, and we wonder why the iron is still cold. So one has to develop transcendental vision, transcendental perspective, and that's what Vasudeva is trying to give Kamsa. At least to save Devaki, of course he doesn't accept it, so Vasudeva has to make a compromise and give Kamsa all the children that will be born of Devaki and himself. So the Kamsa can kill them and feel peaceful. And now I'm saved. I'm not going to die. I've killed my enemy. So So this is part of the divine technicality. Idam tena anapaspaya. Ya imam. Imam tena anapaspaya. Idama yama maya labdwa, imam kapse manoritam. Idamastiya apime bhavishati pranardhanam. Aso maya hatakshatra, anishe chaparanapi. Ishvaraham aham bhogi, siraham balavan suki. Adyo bhidanavan asmi, konyosti sadvishao maya. Yakshe dasyami modisha, ityaganapi mohitaha. So this is the 16th chapter. The Bhagavad Gita, generally speaking, it's most devotees, it's not their favorite chapter. It's too close to home. It also makes us feel like maybe I have some problem that I have to solve. But that's not true. I get prasadam every day and I have a place to sleep. There's not much more I really need to make myself happy. But here Krishna says, Imam Adhyamaya Labdvam. So much wealth do I have today that I'll gain in the future. So much is mine, and in the future I'll get more and more. He's my enemy and I've killed him. All my other enemies will also be killed. I'm the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I'll perform some sacrifice. I'll give some charity. And thus I will rejoice. In this way, the demoniac can be willed by ignorance. So this is the ignorance we're all facing. Thinking that my money, my assets will protect me, my health will protect me, so many things will protect me. My enemies will all be destroyed. Nishingadeva will come and rip them to pieces. I am perfect. No one should tell me anything that I'm doing wrong because I'm perfect. And anyone who gets in my way because I'm powerful, they'll be eliminated. And of course, I'm always happy. Even when I'm sad and distressed, I'm happy because I know I'm great. That makes me feel satisfied. Only time separates me from becoming the Supreme, or very important in this world. And I have so many important relatives. They're rich and aristocratic. And therefore, I'll do some sacrifice. I'll give some charity. And I'll get even a better position. Even if I have to transmigrate, I'll get even more power and prestige in the future. So this is called ignorance. The real purpose, humbly cultivating spiritual knowledge to liberate ourselves from the material concept of life, is considered to be rather primitive by most people. Not really worthwhile. To really consider very deeply. Oh, I have so many plans in the future of how to become safe and secure and eventually joyful in the material world, surrounded by all my material paraphernalia. This is undoubtedly going to make me happy. Danam, Janam, Sindarim, Kaivitamba, Jagadish, Kamye. I'll get wealth, I'll get followers, I'll get beautiful women or handsome men. And if everything goes wrong, I'll get liberation. I'll become God in the Brahman. So these are all tricks of Maya to make life complicated. And for most people, life is very complicated. They don't have any time for spiritual life. Fortunately, most of us here, we have time for spiritual life, but we want to make it complicated so we don't have to take it too seriously. But that's why we hear Srimad Bhagavatam just remind us not to make our lives more and more complicated. Try to utilize whatever opportunity we have now. Try to make it simple. And try to engage in Krishna's service as much as possible. and try to get out of these problematic material conceptions of life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Everyone's in agreement. That's good. Bala Grandraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.